A topic we dearly love here at the monastery is the topic of Stefan. Stefan has been with us since 1983, off and on, and he's been at the monastery for a number of years. He's one of the early birds at the monastery. And then he would go away, and then he'd come back. Then he'd go away, and he'd come back. He'd go off for different flights of fancy and interest that he had, but then he'd always come back, and he still comes back. Stefan is an enigma for most of the people at the monastery. You might say a pain in the ass, to be more explicit. Everyone loves him. Everyone thinks he's the greatest guy in the world. But Stefan has a tendency to do things his way. And when he does things his way, sometimes we don't understand. We love him. We enjoy him. He is a fabulous writer. He writes with great skill, with great precision, with great delight. He is a reasonable speaker. He doesn't speak much, so that makes him reasonable. Probably if he were to speak more often, we would find out that he has a lot that he can say beautifully. But he hasn't taken that challenge yet. Maybe he is in Europe now. So, what is it that irritates people on campus about Stefan? This is something that is very interesting. We always admire people who are good, but we are also very jealous of people who are good. We don't understand them. Sometimes they're a little prima donna. You know what a prima donna is. Sometimes they're a little prima donna, but most of the time, it's just that they have such skill and such genius that we are jealous of them. And because we're jealous of them, we don't have the ability to see clearly what they're doing and how they're doing it. Now, Stefan is one of those people that everyone is jealous of. Number one, Stefan has glorious teeth. His teeth are his pride and joy. Now, none of us have teeth like Stefan. In fact, perhaps not another person in the world has teeth like Stefan. His teeth are so beautiful, and he takes such good care of them. He brushes them at least 20 times a day. He really cares about his teeth. And he cares that his breath is fresh and that his teeth are wonderful. No, that's not all. That's not all. His hair. He has the most beautiful hair of anyone you could ever imagine. He will go into the shower and come out and shake his head like a dog, and his hair falls perfectly into place. Yes, I know you would like that too, wouldn't you, Snuggles? But that's Stefan. That's Stefan. And then Stefan began to mature. And instead of maturing like many people, I know, Snuggles, and something should be done about you right away, shouldn't it? And Stefan had the audacity to mature, to look even more handsome than he did when he was a younger man. His hair grayed in all the perfect places, just on the temples, you know, just on the sideburns, and he looked glorious, you know, and everyone who looked at him said, wow, what a good-looking man. He is so beautiful, some people even think that he's homosexual, you know. But he has shown himself not to be that. He found out late in life, after he was, 25 or 6 or 7, something like that, he found out about girls. And he became enamored with girls. And girls became almost a fetish for him. Not a lot of them, but each one that he participated with. And they found him also exceedingly enjoyable. And so he became a man's girl. I mean, a girl's man, you know. the girls love him, you know. a man for all girls. Yeah, thanks for a lot. No, but he's just fabulous. He's just remarkable. And he retains each girl in his heart in a special compartment and never lets them go. He just dearly loves them, even as he moves on to other girls. And he has been found to be a very magnificent man in their eyes in every way. And that's a lovely thing. Now, that too makes everyone jealous, as you can understand. I mean, anybody who just walks up to a girl and the girl melts in front of him, you know, you say, my God, what has he got? You know, what's he got that we haven't got, right, Heinz? You don't have that problem either, do you? They melt in front of you too, don't they? Yes, Heinz isn't talking. But this is the case. Now, because of this, Stefan has become an enigma. He's become a problem. He'd become something of a difficulty for everybody. When Stefan took over as president, Ellen had been president and doing a remarkable job. Stefan took over and it was tough. And so Ellen helped him, but he wanted to do most of it himself. And he finally did. And he did the job beautifully. Stefan did what Ellen had not been able to do, delegate authority. And by the time Stefan was ready to make his next move, he had delegated everything to everybody and he had nothing left for him to do. So he really managed being president quite nicely. And he had time to go out and play soccer. He had time to do all sorts of interesting things and have several love affairs, you know. But Stefan is a rather remarkable man. Now, Stefan couldn't make up his mind whether he wanted to walk the spiritual path or walk the path of the human, the flesh, sex, you know. And so he decided that he would do both for a while. And he went off on a sabbatical, and it was not really a sabbatical. It was just a cat chase, you know. And so he chased this lovely cat all the way down to Africa and then up into Switzerland. And then they found that they couldn't live together as a close couple. So they just got a house together and lived together as an unclose couple. Because each one of them have their own interests and their own directions in life. And still, they enjoy each other's company. So, Stefan, with his usual flamboyance, is working part-time for a number of different companies, just having a ball in his independence and freedom. And but, again, with his usual flamboyance, he has decided to become a marriage counselor. Having never been married, having never had a relationship that lasted longer than a year or two, and so forth, but he is going to be a marriage counselor. Now, I think he will probably be one of the most outstanding marriage counselors the world has ever seen, because he doesn't know a damn thing about it. He has no limitations in his mind or heart about marriages. He has no limitations about what is right and what's wrong. He's just going to go in there and follow his heart, which is a pretty nice heart, and he's going to follow his heart and advise these people as to how to find a mate on marriage counseling and on dating and all of these things. And I don't know, what are these, 38, 39 now? He goes where angels fear to tread. He moves into pathways where angels fear to tread. But he will succeed. He will succeed not because he knows what he's doing, but he'll succeed because he loves what he's doing. And he gives out of his heart the very best that's in him, and he will be a wonderful success. Now, does that mean that Stefan is going to be beloved by everyone? Not at all. He's going to talk to some of these people who are looking for mates, or some of these people who are having marriage problems, and they're going to fall in love with him. And he's going to have a very difficult time in counseling with them when they're trying to come on to him. Now, this is what psychiatrists have had for years and years. The people come on to them, both men and women come on to psychiatrists, you know. And they come on to medical doctors, and they come on to all kinds of people. And it's tough counseling people when they're coming on to you. And so Stefan's going to have this little experience, and he will come out looking like a prince that he is, and everyone will say, how could we have not gone along with this guy? He is so fantastic. Now, it's hard not to be jealous of a person who is so perfect and yet so imperfect. Perhaps the reason that we love him so much is because he doesn't know that he's imperfect. And that is a beautiful thing that we are teaching here. I am whole and perfect. I am whole and perfect. I express my divinity now. And you see, those are the things that make us jealous in the world. And those are the things that are the reasons that we should be our own guide, our own judge. We should follow our own path and not look to anyone else. You will never have Stefan's white teeth. You can buy all the teeth whitener, go to all the dentists for teeth whitening you want, but you'll never have his natural white teeth. You'll never have his perfectly formed teeth. Your teeth will always be just a little bit out of shape. He was born with a full mouth of teeth that were fantastic, and he's taking care of them. He loves them. You will never be born with the Geschichte, with the outlook, the face, the appearance that he has. Stefan can put on any rag, and it looks like a piece of royal cloth. He throws anything on his body, and it looks good. It can be too big or too small or anything, and it looks perfect. Stefan just has that gift. Not everybody has that gift. You and I, we don't have that gift. When we throw something too big, it looks too big. We throw something too small, and it looks too small. Even something we throw on that's just right doesn't look like it does when it's on Stefan. Now, you think, Herb, are you in love with that guy? No, I'm just aware of who he is. I'm just aware of the magnificent being that he is. I'm just aware of him, and I do love him, but not with a passion, a sexual passion. I love him as a father. I love him as a brother. I love him as a friend, but not friend, because I don't have any friends, because I love everyone unconditionally. And to love unconditionally does not allow for having a friend, because a friend you love specially. So I love everyone unconditionally. So I love Stefan and all of you unconditionally, because you are fabulous. Now, I see in each one of you your own genius. I see in each one of you your own magnificent traits. And when I said Stefan was the president and he did a good job, and I could see Ellen looking at me saying, well, I did too. I did. But don't compare. What you did, Ellen, what you did as president, nobody in the world could have done as well. The circumstances under which you were president, and under which you worked, and under which you built this organization up, nobody else could have done it. In fact, everybody else would have run away. And they would have run away because the task they felt would be just too great. But for you, this was just fun. It was just a lovely challenge that you rose to beat and did very well. Now, Stefan's challenge was a little different. Stefan's challenge was to show us that we really don't need a president. Because by the time Stefan was ready to take off, he had given all the responsibilities away except keeping the books and what else?
Checking the gist.
And checking the gist 100 times. He's such a perfectionist. He would have caught the beginning statement that
hopefully, yeah.
Yeah.
We
should too. But you see, the most difficult errors in the gist, the most difficult errors to find in the gist or any publication, are the errors that happen in the bold print or the headlines. Mm-hmm. because you don't pay attention to it. And so a drop cap at the beginning of one article there, it should have been T, but it ended up at H. And so instead of the, it said he. And of course, everyone will understand it. And everyone's read it month after month, so they probably don't even read it anymore. But we want to do everything reasonably good, you know. But Stefan wouldn't have allowed that to go through, because he has eyes like a hawk. He is he's a perfectionist. He is a perfectionist. And that's why his body is perfect. And that's why during the school of the master, when everyone else had a beautiful physique, they were eating well, exercising well, doing everything well, Stefan looked like a god, you know, just like a Greek god. And really, he should be a model. But I don't think...
He wanted to.
Yeah. But I don't think that's his thing. To be a model, you have to do things other people's way. And he doesn't ever like to do things other people's way. He likes to do things his way. And that's hard to take sometimes. But you'll find that Stefan is going to go right through the ceiling. He's going to go right through the top of everything in life, because he has that deep respect and love and honor for himself. And if each of us could have the deep respect and love and honor that Stefan has for himself, we would be, we're fabulous now, but we would be so remarkable, so outstanding, that the world couldn't handle 7 more magnificent beings. You understand? Mm-hmm. But you can handle it. You can handle being a magnificent being. So, Astrid, you haven't met Stefan yet. No. And you will have the opportunity when you're in Europe. And you draw your own conclusion. And you'll also meet Irene. She is another spectacular person, outstanding in everything she does. No matter what she does, she comes out a princess. Mm-hmm. Even when she stubs her toe and falls down, bruises her nose, breaks her leg, she does all crazy things. She comes out like a princess every time. Mm-hmm. Every time. And Anita, you haven't met her?
Yes.
You did meet her. Well, then you know what she is. Mm-hmm. She is a wonder lady. And you've met Ingeborg. And you've met a wonder lady there in her own unique way. And Sylvia... Oh, Sylvia, if I could just give her a good swift boot in the behind, she would wake up to how wonderful she is, how beautiful she is, how fabulous she is, what a good writer she is, what a talented leader she is, and everything else, and she would stop needing other people to tell her how good she is. She would know. And this is the boot and the butt that I've got to give her one of these days real hard and send her off into I like me land, you know. And Ellen, I could never say enough about Ellen. She is just a fabulous, remarkable lady. And there's no words that could begin to cover the areas that she has been a genius in and that she's going to yet be a genius in. She doesn't know things that are yet to come for her. Yes. You just wait till you sit in the author's party, write, signing books, having people come up and say, oh, Ellen, your book is so wonderful. It helped me so much. It's so wonderful. Ellen, you are such a beautiful writer. Ellen, you're so fantastic. And Ellen says, all right already. You know, Ellen says, I don't think that's so hard to handle. Well, you wait until you're sitting in there. And you remember, humble, you know. Yes, I am great. Oh, God, I'm so great. Oh, my goodness, my defecations don't smell, you know. My. Yes. Good for you, love. Okay. And Heinz, you already know that you're a remarkable man. But you have not yet begun to do the things you're really remarkable in. You watch. One of these days you're going to open your mouth. And when you do, the world's going to say, why hasn't he done this all his life? And you'll be a most remarkable speaker. You watch and see. On many things. Not just philosophy, on candles, on on house building and on sailing and all sorts of things that you know nothing about, but you'll be very good at talking on it. You'll be like, what's his name in Europe?
Tepperwine.
Tepperwine, yeah. Tepperwine doesn't know anything about anything. He is an idiot. He is a stupid man. But he reads other people's books, and he teaches their books beautifully. He is a wonderful mimic. Now, he doesn't take credit for it. He doesn't say that it's somebody else, that's not his book. He just says, these are the things you should do. And if you are current in reading the current books on the market, you know right what his next book is going to be. But he never mentions it. Now, that's okay. Each author says, read my book and make it yours. He reads their book and makes it his, and then he makes it part of his program to teach. And that's great. But you don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. We want to make something ours so that you never realize who the author of the book originally had been. And the author of the book, who's the author of the book originally? Me. Exactly. I am the author of the book. And it should be in my words, in my vernacular, in my way of expressing myself. Well, Stefan, if you hear this, know that we all love you very much. And you know, Stefan, everybody's, not everybody, whoever is serving is supposed to put a cup of coffee before me at each meal. And Ellen forgot this morning. So you see, Stefan, if you were here, it wouldn't be forgotten. So make sure that you come back and visit us often. And we'll come to Europe and visit you. And your home, your real spiritual home, is on campus. And your real spiritual family is your campus family. And any other family you have is just a little extra gift from us to you. So, have a wonderful day. I love you. And I didn't get to Astrid here, and I didn't get to Rhonda. Perhaps I should before we adjourn. Rhonda? Yes. You have a wonderful gift of gab. You have a wonderful ability to speak. But I would recommend that instead of teaching, you live. Instead of going out and being erudite and using all these words and all these ideas and all these concepts that you read in our books, you put them into simple, everyday language that people don't know they're being taught, that people don't know that you are sharing with them your great wisdom. They just think, my, she is a wise lady. And they don't know that they're getting a complete course in the term of, you know, 20 minutes of talking to you. So learn to do that, and you will find your niche, which is a wonderful niche. But a niche that where you out-argue anybody, a niche where you have to tell somebody in no uncertain terms what's on your mind, is not going to win you a great audience or many friends or self-appreciation. Just remember, live it and share it in the simplest terms possible. I think that is a great gift that you have within you, but you tend to be too literate, too grand in your phraseology, in your language, and it makes it very overwhelming. Like barfitis. Can you explain to Astrid what barfitis is? To barf means to throw up. And barfitis means to cause people to do that all the time. It's an itis, you know. And yeah, and so when people hear you talk, you know, they want to barf. And they want to barf not because what you say is bad, but because what you say is so superior to their appreciation of life that they yuck, I can't handle it. Make it simple. Remember, what's the word? Thank you. What's the word, Heinz? Kiss. You said it the other day. Yeah, keep it simple, silly. Keep it keep it simple, sweetheart. Keep it simple, simply. You know, keep it simply simple, or whatever you want to say. Okay. And Astrid? Astrid? However, how do you pronounce your name?
Astrid.
Well, do it definitely and out loud.
Astrid.
Astrid. Well, you mean, so you swallow the ah, huh? Astrid. Astrid. Well, anyhow, Astrid, you have a gentle quietness about you, but you also have an intensity about you. And your intensity can destroy you. The intensity of getting too serious about things that don't need to be serious about. You just go out and be yourself and have fun, because you have the capacity to be yourself and have fun, and you watch the doorways that open up for you to be yourself and have fun. Because there's no reason for you to stay at home. There's no reason for you to be a stick in the mud. The stick in the mud is that you stay at home. There's no reason for you to limit your experiences. Just go and have fun, but always be yourself, and always know you know the answer. And the answer is yes or no. And whenever anyone says, let's go to a party, if you like it, go. If you don't like it, say, no. Don't say, I'm going to stay home and read a book. But just say, no. Because it deserves no more answer than no. And if you ever give more of an answer than no, you're not serious. You don't mean it. If you ever give an answer more than yes, you don't mean it too. Because you have no need to explain yourself to anybody or anything. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. So apply it. And you will be very, 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 very happy. Okay, Steph? Am I counseling okay, Stephen? I love you. I love you all.
Love you.
Okay. I love you.